is a second message in my series, The House of My Dreams. The House of My Dreams. It's a really important message that for nowadays. The House of My Dreams. Okay, dear church, if you have just one thing that you would like to ask God for, just one, what would you ask Him for? Think about it. One thing. Yeah, you can think of many different things. You can ask God the power of the Holy Spirit. You can ask wisdom. You can ask many different things. There is no right or wrong here. But there is an inspired text in the Bible that will help us to understand or to answer this question here. David, in Psalm 27, was hiding in the mountains. He knew that any day or every night could be his last night here in this earth. Because Saul was just over the river with his army. It was like a quite scared time for David. And he was up to the situation because he learned to trust in God. To trust in God. Open your Bible in Psalm 27. Psalm 27, and then we are going to read from verse 1 to 4. Psalm 27. And just before I start the message, let's have another word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are opening your word now. Please send your Holy Spirit in this church that we can understand this very important message for nowadays. And then we can go home today differently as we got here in this morning. Everything we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 27, verse 1 to 4 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." Amen. Amen. This verse, this passage, help us to understand or to answer the question. The first question that I did. I remember when I was a child, probably 5, 6 years old, and my parents moved to a very, very old house in my suburb. Probably the oldest house in that suburb. And our dream was to build a new house in front of that old one. The house was so old, that the wood, you could cross your finger because the insects destroyed the wood wall. You could cross. One day, I was over there and playing with my brother, and I quite enjoyed that house, but my parents, this is a pretty old house. They was ashamed to talk about or to invite people to come to our house. But I love it. I loved that old house. And I will talk more about it later. The house of my dreams. In that time, David was unable to go to the sanctuary in these times. Let think in his life a few things. He thought against the Philistines and other enemies to make peace in the land, and then he forgot all about his thoughts about the sanctuary. Is it right? Is it right or not? No, it's not right. Why? David had an idea to build God a house. Nathan said he couldn't build because there was blood in his hands. God said his son Solomon, the peaceful one, would build his house of peace. God also said to David, David, don't build me a house. Why? Because God said, I'm gonna build you a dynasty. Let's think, Solomon is Shalomo, which means peaceful one. So a peaceful one would build the house of peace of God. So this point here, David, he can't build God a house, so he skips the idea, and then he goes on another idea. Is it right? No. If he cannot build God a house, what can he do? Prepare. He can prepare the house of God. And then here we have the preparation. David prepared all the gemstones, the building material, the songs. We have all the songs he wrote here in the Psalms. He invented the musical instruments. Maybe the guitar we have today, that I play the guitar. I love these instruments. The Bible doesn't say the guitar, but says the string instruments. Do you know how many singers there were in the temple choir? 288. And 4,000 instrumentalists, all paid by the tithe. They were ministers of God. Imagine those things. So has David forgot the sanctuary? 1 Chronicles 29 from verse 1 to 3 help us in this question here. It says, then King David said to the whole assembly, my son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. The task is great because this palatial structure is not for men, but for Lord, the Lord God. With all my resources, I have provided for the temple of God, of my God. Besides, in my devotion to the temple of my God, I now give my personal treasures. Has David forgot the sanctuary of God? The house of God? No. He was doing everything to help his son Solomon to build a house for God. We can see it clearly in the Bible. Was David alone? And then a thing that we start thinking, was David alone? Was it just unique to David? Or maybe there is anything from the other biblical writers shared in the Bible? Let's see. We should look in the Bible and how many chapters in the Old Testament talk about the sanctuary. Let's see. Moses, 46 chapters about the sanctuary. The prophets, another 45 or 50 chapters talking about the sanctuary. The Psalms, at least one reference in each chapter. And then we come to at least 150 reference in the book of Psalms about the sanctuary. And then also we should look in the Bible and how many chapters in the New Testament talk about the sanctuary. The whole gospel, John's structure is around the festivals. Jesus fulfills each one of them. The revelation of Jesus Christ has seven sections. And in the beginning of each section, we have, or there is a vision of what? Sanctuary. Peter, when Jesus is the Lamb of God, the priest, allusions to the sanctuary. So the Old Testament and the New Testament, it's full. There are many references talking about the sanctuary. It wasn't unique to David, but it's something very common in the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. In fact, the more you look, the more you see the sanctuary. The whole Bible focusing in so many ways, in so many perspectives on the sanctuary. And the other point, the other question, so is there any wonder there? If the focus and the whole Bible and the sanctuary from Genesis to Revelation, is there any wonder? Wouldn't it be wise to go there and check what it means? 91 holidays in the sanctuary. Do you like holidays? If you like holidays, just put your hands up. Everybody here? I love holidays. Unfortunately, in our world, we have just, this is standard in the whole world, just 1 month. You work 11 months, and then you have 1 month holiday. But it was, in the Bible, this is completely different. Our God is God of happiness, is God of parties, is God of holidays. It's 3 months. If we consider all Sabbaths, 12 new moon festivals, and all annual festivals, it came up to 91 days. Praise God. And after every 7 years or 6 years, we have 1 year holiday. And then when the 6 year, the seventh one, it's combined to the 51, we have 2 years. So many holidays, so many festivals. I can't wait to see what's going to happen on heaven. I can wait. The life was around the sanctuary. Look, my dear brothers and sisters, usually the priorities in our life, the priorities, it's work, family, church, and God. All right? But unfortunately, this is a standard. The work is in the first position. But what should be the priorities in our life? In the first position, God. Second, family. Third, church. And the fourth one, work. Yeah. This is the correct priorities in our life. And then we shouldn't change it. We shouldn't change it. The sanctuary is the key. This is really important. Pay attention at this point. The sanctuary is the key that unlocked the great disappointment in 1844. The whole system of truth is connected in harmonies with the sanctuary message. You cannot understand the biblical truths if you don't understand the sanctuary. You can't. You can't understand the Bible properly if you don't understand the sanctuary. Why? Because God created his salvation plan using the sanctuary structure, his house, his throne, where he is. The problem of the sin is not about our earth. No. Where did the sin start? Where? In heaven. But specifically, in which place? Huh? The most holy place. Do you remember the structure of the sanctuary? In the most holy place, we have the ark. And then in the ark, we have the two cherubims. And what Satan is? Sorry? One cherubim. Is it right? So the sin started in God's temple, in his throne, in the most holy place. And where did God start dealing with sin? On heavenly, on heaven, in the most holy place. It's from the most holy place that God is dealing with sin and the whole universe, including the earth, our planet. Can you see? This is the point. And then in the sanctuary structure, God explains his salvation plan. The salvation plan is not just the cross. The cross is part of God's salvation plan. God's salvation plan is in three phases. The three Jesus ministry phases. The first phase is in the cross, where he came to die for you and me. Otherwise, God couldn't save us. But the Apostle Paul said, if Jesus Christ died and didn't resurrect it, our faith is nothing, vain. So it's not just the cross, it's also the resurrection. And when he resurrected, he went up to heaven and then he started the second phase in his ministry. In the holy place, being our priest, advocate, intermediator, or mediator between God and us. And then, if we look in the biggest prophecy in the Bible, at the end of that prophecy, he also started the last phase in his ministry. And this last phase in his ministry is the present truth. The pre-advent judgment. He's also now our judge. And then when he finishes his judgment, he will come to rescue us. This is the whole truth. Amen. Do you know why we should preach the whole truth? Because part of the truth is not the whole truth. Part of the truth is 100% lie. For example, let me give you an example. If I tell you, Jesus is just man, am I right or wrong? Jesus is just man. I just emphasize his human nature. I'm wrong. If I say, Jesus is just God, and I'm right or wrong? If I emphasize just his human nature, I'm preaching Arianism. Do you understand Arianism? If I emphasize just his divinity, I'm preaching Gnosticism. The truth is only truth if 100% of it is preached. Jesus is 100% man. Jesus is 100% God. And then I have the whole truth together. Are you with me? Amen. 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 What was the experience that David had and looked for? What was the experience of the Adventist pioneers when they joined in the sanctuary message? If you go to a philosopher and ask, what is worth dying to die for? Dying for. What are the values to die for? He would say the triple stars of values. Goodness, truth, and beauty. Beauty. Those are the three values of life. Ellen White called for a radical change in the educational system. Teachers would end the war to awaken the love for goodness, the truth, and the beauty to arouse the desire for excellence. Excellence. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. The house of the Lord. So what is the experience he wants to have there in the house of the Lord? To behold the beauty of the Lord. So God asked Moses to build the sanctuary for the glory and for the beauty. Also Solomon to build the sanctuary for the glory and for the beauty. In Hebrew, Noam, which means something, it's so lovely, so beautiful, so beautiful. New Zealand has many beautiful places. I had the opportunity to travel around the North Island, the South Island. And one of my favorite places here in New Zealand is Mount Maunganui, Tauranga, where I used to be the youth pastor. And this, I love the mount. I love to go around the mount. I love to go to the top. And many prayers and many beautiful moments I had with God in that place. Or even just sit down and watching the sea. For me, when I watch the sea, what the sky, the nature's around, this is, I can, my mind just connects with God. This is wonderful. So New Zealand, I used to say, is the Lost Eden. But God's house is incomparable. It's incomparable what God has prepared. What this heavenly structure is something that we cannot even imagine. That's why, my dear brothers and sisters, now is the day for us to leave our sins, to give our life completely to God, and to fulfill our mission as Adventists, to proclaim the everlasting gospel, which is the three angels' message to the whole world. Because we know when this gospel will be fulfilled in the whole world, everybody will have the chance to decide which way, which path they want to go, and Jesus will come. In Matthew 24:14, the gospel will be preached for the whole world, and then the end will come. This end is the second coming. Also, at the end of the three angels' message, in the verse 14, while the three angels' message should be preached in loud voice and quickly, the last verse in the three angels' message says, or talks about, the second coming. Straight after the three angels' message, second coming. Amen? Amen. Amen. How beautiful was the temple of Solomon? Ellen White says it was the most beautiful building that has ever built. Gold, 100,000 talents of gold, which comes to 3,500 tons of gold. Or nowadays it would
cost $40 billion.
American dollars.
Silver, 1 million talents of silver, or 35 tons of silver is 4.8 billion
American dollars. Bronze, he couldn't count it.
Imagine. Probably we are going to hear is almost 80, 90 New Zealand billions, just dollars, just for one building.
Imagine. It's huge.
The Great Controversies, page 414, says, "The matchless splendor of the earthly tabernacle reflected to human vision the glories of the heavenly temple, where Christ is our foreigner, ministered for us before the throne of God, the abiding place of the King of Kings, where thousands and thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stand before him. That temple filled with the glory of the eternal throne, where seraphims, its shining guardians, veiled their face in adoration, could find in the most magnificent structure ever reared by human hands, by a faint reflection of its vastness and glory. Yet important truths concerning the heavenly sanctuary and the great work there carried forward for man's redemption were taught by earthly sanctuary and its services." So the only way to understand God's salvation plan is to understand the sanctuary. There is no other way to understand God's salvation plan if you don't understand the sanctuary. Why? Because God created his salvation plan in this way. We just need to go there, learn, and then we understand the whole truth of the gospel,
of his salvation plan. God built the sanctuary so beautiful to explain us how beautiful the plan of salvation is. Do you know what the heavenly sanctuary was made up? Do you know? The heavenly sanctuary is made by heavenly stuff. Yeah, that's all we know. Everything else we are going to figure out when we get there. This is vaster than our mind can take in. It's impossible for our mind now to understand heavenly things in its fullness. The heavenly sanctuary is huge. It's vast. I can't wait to get there and to understand those things and to see with my own eyes in a perfect body. And to, most important thing, to see the one that is working in our behalf, Jesus Christ, and see him face to face. Amen. A glorious throne exalted from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. The sanctuary was there since the beginning, before sin. It is there, the sanctuary is there during the sin history. And the sanctuary will stay there forever.
Is there.
Jeremiah 17:12. So, God has a home. And what is the purpose of the sanctuary? Does God need to dwell in a house? To keep warm? No. Why does he dwell in space and time? The text that tells us about his heavenly house, especially before sin,
You were anointed as a guardian cherub, for so I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. Ezekiel 28:14.
When we talk anointed cherub, where are we? Most holy place, as we said before.
Isaiah 14:12-13. How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to earth. You who once lay loud the nations, you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will rise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain.
We can see many eyes here.
So we can see here that the house of God, the sanctuary, is also the place of the assembly, the church, the God's people.
The other point, seeking the truth. Seeking the truth. The word here, seek, is bakar. It means to carefully search the truth and find out the truth.
It's not just go there and read. No, it's go there and study it deeply to understand and to print this truth in our heart. So David is basically saying, I don't want to only explore the beauty of God in the sanctuary, but I also want to know the truth of the sanctuary. I want to go deep
in this truth.
To seek him and his temple. What is the subject here in this sentence? To seek what? The temple or him? Him. Who is him?
God.
So to understand more about God, to know this God, we need to study what he reveals about himself in the Bible. And the way that he reveals himself is in the sanctuary. Can you see? The most important thing is to know God. And the only way to understand God, to understand his character, to understand his mission, to understand his nature, is in the sanctuary.
Is in the sanctuary.
Most Christian churches don't believe in the sanctuary anymore, unfortunately. I'm Adventist, and I believe in the sanctuary because the scriptures said so. This is not a doctrine to believe, but a powerful life-changing. Powerful life-changing. And the third point, goodness.
That says, I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And also in the verse 8,
my heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will see.
This is our mission,
to seek, to understand this God, to have a relationship with this God that will help us to stand among many wrong theories around us, to go through to different problems and the struggles we have in life. What is the heart of the sanctuary experience? What is the to seek his face? To see him face to face. And then I finish my message in this morning, talking again about the house that I have. Do you remember? My parents moved to a really old house. The oldest house in the suburb. I remember one day my uncle
came to play volleyball with us inside of the house. Because my brother and I, we used to play volleyball with a balloon. We put a string in my parents' room, and then we have a volleyball field. And then we start playing. There were a few rules. Now we could just touch three times in the balloon and then pass the ball to the other side. It's quite a fun game. And then my uncle got there. And then, oh, uncle, come on. Let's play with us. And then my uncle, in the first minutes, he touched the ground and it broke. Imagine. But I was a child. I didn't care. Just keep playing. Just have fun. But of course, the game stopped. And then I said also we could cross in some parts of the wall. We could cross with our fingers. It's really fun. Imagine you have a house and then you could cross to the other side. Literally. Well, my parents, what a shame to invite people to come to our house. But I didn't care. I quite enjoyed that house. And then, unfortunately, we realized in 1997, 1st of January, after 10 years building the new house, we finally moved to the new house. And then the old house was destroyed. My dear friends, the house of my dreams. I hope one day I can buy a house here in New Zealand. Or maybe not. I hope I don't have time to buy a house in New Zealand. Because there is one house that is already prepared for me and for you. On heaven. And on heaven, the house of God, where He lives, where His throne is, where the most place is, the holy place is, the house of God on heaven has a wall, has a floor, as a roof, everything. The heaven is a physical place. Our God is physical. We are going to be able to see Him face to face, to touch Him, to see His house, His throne. Everything is real. It's physical in heaven. And if I invite you and I appeal for you in this morning, whether you are a member in this church or just a friend, that is coming every Sabbath. My dear friend, now is the day to accept our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And to change everything that is wrong in your life. Because what defines what is right and wrong in our life is not ourselves, but the Bible. The Bible is the base that is defined what is wrong and right. Not my taste. Not my will, not what I think is right, but the Bible. That's why you should study the Bible, and I encourage you to keep studying the Bible. If you are not studying the Bible, ask for one member, for the pastor to help you in this direction. Because only using your Bible, you can understand what is wrong and right. And then, I used to say to my dears everywhere that I go, the true gospel and the truth has two sides, brings us hope, but also hurts you. If the truth just brings you hope, but doesn't hurt you, it's not the truth. But not just hurts you, brings you hope. Not brings you hope, hurts you. And this is the way when Jesus met that woman in the wilderness. Jesus said, you are in sin, you have five men, but they are not yours, and the one that you are now is not yours. But Jesus didn't left her there. He said, but there is a person who comes from Jerusalem, and this person is in front of you now, which gives us the living water. My dear friends, the truth hurts you in a sense that shows the sin in your life, but also the everlasting gospel gives you Jesus Christ. And I appeal and I encourage you, study your Bible. Pray and get involved in God's mission, in God's church. And day by day, He will help you to be a better person, to share and to use you, to share the three angels' message with everybody around you, and to lead you for that great day that He will come to rescue you, and then you're going to be able to see His house, that is the house of my dreams, with your own eyes, and to live with this God forever and ever on heaven and in His heavenly sanctuary. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, the house of my dreams, or actually the house of our dreams, not any house or any building in this earth, but it's your house, your sanctuary, your where your throne is, the place you promised us to prepare and to come back to rescue us, to live in your house forever and ever. Please, God, help us day by day to study our Bible, to understand your truth, to be prepared for that day that we will come, but before your second coming, to help other friends that need to receive the three angels' message and also to be prepared for that great day where we're gonna come to rescue us, and then we're gonna be able to see you, to know you as you know us, to see you face to face and live with you on heaven in your house forever and ever. Everything I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And remember, this gospel will be preached for the whole world, and then the end will come. God bless you.
This message was brought to you by Amazing Messages with Pastor Ismael Silva. For more amazing messages, visit us on www.amazingmessages.org.